Hello everyone, and welcome to this second session of the Seat of the Soul Life School. It's a joy to be with you.
We're so excited to be here. We're excited about what we're going to be talking about today, and really looking forward to all of you that were in the Authentic Power Learning Community before and now or have come into the Life School, and everyone that's new, I want to welcome all of you.
Indeed. Each session in the Life School, we're going to cover something of significance that can help you in creating authentic power, or understanding authentic power, or seeing why it is so very important. Why is it very important? Well, perhaps you've had enough in your life of being controlled by your anger, or your need to please people, or your need to feel superior, or your feelings of jealousy or resentment or anger, or your continual challenges with workaholism, or wine at dinner, or any of the addictive behaviors, or compulsive activities, or obsessive thoughts, and you now want to move beyond the control of those so you're not controlled by them anymore. Pardon me. Why would you not want to be controlled by them any longer? Because while you're controlled by them, while you're controlled by your anger or your jealousy or your resentment, you can't give the gifts that you were born to give. And if you're not giving the gifts that you were born to give, then you won't experience the joy and the fulfillment of a life in the Earth School that's conscious, vital, meaningful, purposeful, and alive.
And the reason that you're here in the Earth School, exactly why you're here.
Exactly. Now, there's another dimension, too, and that is that our species is in new evolutionary territory, so that everything that you do in creating authentic power is much more than self-help or self-improvement.
Oh.
It is contributing directly to the maturation of your personality and the evolution of your soul. It is a conscious contribution to the collective of humanity. And until now, if you're like I've been, what you were contributing to humanity was unconsciously chosen. In other words, anger, jealousy, resentment, superiority, inferiority, all of those things.
In other words, by frightened parts of your personality rather than loving parts.
Yes, exactly. So now we come to the subject of this Life School session.
And I really am excited about this, beloved, because it is actually the subject. We're going to be talking about an aspect that's in the Seat of the Soul, and it's the second chapter of Seat of the Soul called Karma. And so I'm really excited to explore that with you, an aspect of it, because there's a lot about karma that we won't be able to talk about today, but we will talk about the most important parts this call.
We'll talk about what's necessary for you to begin to consider now. There's always enough time to do that.
Yes.
So what is this thing called karma? Well, it's actually pretty simple. Here in the West, we call it the Golden Rule. Do to others what you would like them to do to you. Now, why would one of our major teachers tell us to do that? Why would one of our major teachers say, be aware of what you're doing to other people, and only do to and for and with other people what you would like them to do to and for and with you? The reason is that what you choose to do to and for and with other people is what other people will do to and for and with you. So for example, if you betray someone, if you betray a trust, someone in your experience is going to betray your trust, and it's going to be just as painful, just as shocking, just as unwelcomed as your betrayal was to another person. So you might say the universe always allows you to get even. No, it's not like that at all.
Mm.
Karma is a universal teacher of responsibility. And the only way that you can learn in the intimacy of your own experience, in the depth of your own heart. The extent to which you are responsible for what you create is for you to encounter it in you. And once you begin to be aware of that, then you will become more sensitive and considerate of what you are doing to and for and with other people. And as you do that, then you become a more considerate person. You become a kinder person. You become a person who starts to think in terms of other people and what's good for them. And as you do, what you are creating for yourself changes dramatically, because then you start to bring to you experiences. You continue to bring to you experiences that you are sharing with others, but now the experiences that you're sharing with others are compassionate, are patient, are caring, are appreciative and grateful. And so all of those things begin to come into your life from other people. Appreciation and gratitude and caring and patience.
We can even take it a step further, can't we, beloved? We can even take it a step further. We can say that not only does it come into your life, but it could come into the life of your one of the lives of your soul, one of the personalities that come into the Earth School from your own soul.
Well, now Linda's giving you an advanced lesson in karma. Let me explain karma in the most accurate way that I can. It simply means that what you bring into the life of another person, someone else will bring it into your life. Now, what happens when you bring something into the life of another person? For example, suppose you're a sexual addict like I was for a long time, and what you're bringing into the life of another person is exploitation, is utilizing someone else to satisfy your own craving, to make you feel better or safer or more valuable in the world. That's what other people are going to bring into your life, and you will find yourself exploited, maybe in the same way, maybe in other ways. I exploited people sexually, but perhaps some of the experiences of exploitation that I encountered would have been financial exploitation or emotional exploitation. But the dynamic of exploiting someone is the dynamic that someone else will bring into your life, and so, it won't feel good.
So you're saying what comes back to you whenever you act unconsciously isn't necessarily exactly the way that you've exploited someone else or used someone else or manipulated someone else, that it comes back to you nonetheless.
What I'm saying is not only what you bring to others with your unconscious decisions returns to you, but also what you bring to others with your conscious decisions returns to you. So what happens if, say, you betray someone and you don't experience being betrayed before you die? Did you get away with it? Are you home free? That is a perception that comes from a limited... That is a perception that comes from the five senses. When we see the world only with our eyes and ears and taste and touch and smell, it's physical. And when the physical world ends, it seems that everything must end. But as we become multisensory, we begin to see that we are more than our minds and our bodies. We begin to see that our lives are meaningful, not random. We begin to see that the universe is alive and compassionate and wise. This is multisensory perception. The five senses together form a single sensory system. Now we're getting another sensory system. This is a huge transformation in human consciousness. And it's underway now. And it's in this context that we're talking about karma. Because karma takes place not only in the domain of the five senses, not only in the domain of duality. Karma takes place in non-physical reality. Karma is a universal law, the universal law of cause and effect. Well, You know what the physical law of cause and effect is. Empirical science is based on it. Every cause has an effect, and every effect has a cause. And so you can predict the effect that you will encounter by choosing the cause properly. The effect that you might want to create, that a nation might want to create, for example, is to put humans on the moon or a rover on Mars. And we do that. That is how accurately we can use the law of cause and effect. Now, allow yourself to consider the existence of a universal law of cause and effect, a universal law of which the physical law of cause and effect is a reflection in the domain of the five senses. And in that domain, non-physical reality, the larger arena, the universe in which you exist, is also an arena in which your intentions are creating consequences for other people, and in which those consequences will return to you. You can think of it something like a very accurate laser-guided boomerang. A boomerang is something that was developed by Aboriginals in Australia in the outback, and it's a very handy device. It's a weapon that they can use for hunting. But if they throw it and they miss the target, they don't have to walk all the way over to where the target was and try to find it like a golfer is looking for a golf ball that they hit into the rough. Instead, this weapon, if it misses its target, will come back and it will land in the vicinity of the hunter. Karma is much more accurate than that. It comes right back to the one who created it. It comes right back to the intender, right back to the one who exploited, right back to the one who was a sexual predator, right back to the one who is kind, the one who is considerate, the one who is patient, right back to it. And there is no getting away from it. You can't run into a cave. You can't go into the basement. You can't go into a shopping mall. Your karma will find you. And when it does, you will experience what you have brought into the life of someone else. Now, the question was, that I posed, was, what happens if that doesn't happen to you before you die? From the point of view of the five senses.
That's such a good question, beloved, because that will explain some other things, too, we'll talk about later, but that's so good.
So, from the perception of the five senses, both consciousness and responsibility into death, as we become multisensory, we're beginning to see that that's not really the case. In fact, that we're not really just minds and bodies, we are souls. We are becoming aware of a part of ourselves that existed before we were born and that will continue to exist after we die. We have in the past, while we were five sensory, looked at our lives as a book with a beginning and a middle and an end. Now that we're multisensory, we can begin to see our lives as chapters in a book. That the entire span of our lifetime, the entire extent of our duration upon the earth, between the moment of our birth and the moment of our death, of our soul returning home and discarding the personality, that is a chapter in a book. And sometimes you can't know or understand what's happening in a chapter unless you've read previous chapters. That's the way it is with karma. If you do not experience what you've created, another personality of your soul will experience it.
You know what I love about what you're saying? Is that when it's a chapter, it's something that just came to me. When you know that you're a chapter of a book, this personality, my personality is a chapter, I don't necessarily know what happened before or what after will happen later. But what I do know is that anything that comes to me, I think that's what you're saying, anything that comes to me, that any experience that I have, whether it's a lovely experience or a really painful one, that I may not understand how that could have happened to me, comes from another personality of my soul, in other words, another chapter of the book. And I can be certain about that.
Yes. That's exactly it. So you can look at what I've just described. That is, you create something and you don't experience it before your soul goes home. Another personality of your soul will. And that personality might be you. In other words, conversely, suppose you encounter something and you cannot see how possibly you could have created that in your lifetime. It may be, and it often is, very often is, that you are encountering the effect of a cause that predated your birth, perhaps by centuries. In other words, a cause that was created by another personality of your soul. It's not a past life of yours. It is a life that is in your family of lives, you might say. They are all personalities that were created and utilized by your soul for its own evolution.
Yeah, exactly. I think why that's important to me, beloved, is that some of the things that I've encountered in my life, it really helped me to understand karma, because when I understood karma, the things that happened that were painful, I could look at as something that another personality of my soul did in another lifetime, and I have the opportunity not to react. I have the opportunity to feel it, to have frightened parts may come up, but not to act on it. So I'm creating different karma for myself and for other personalities of my soul that come from love. That's really was so freeing for me when I realized that.
So as we become multisensory, and that includes you, we begin to be able to see from a larger perspective. Even if you feel that you can't, allow yourself to begin to sense what you resonate with as Linda and I speak to you. And this is what we are saying, that your life is meaningful. Every moment of it is meaningful. But what exactly does that mean? You've heard us say that before. This is where karma comes into the picture. Every experience that you have is an opportunity for you to grow spiritually. It serves your spiritual growth. And more than that, it is perfect for you, given the wisdom of the choices that you've made in the past. It also serves the spiritual growth of all those that you're interacting with, given the wisdom of the choices that they have made if you're interacting with other people. Given the wisdom of the choices that you have made in the past. In other words, given the choices that you have made in the past, and all of those choices are creating consequences, and those consequences are returning to you, whether you created them in this lifetime or another personality of your soul created them. This is another way of saying that your experiences are karmic necessities. If they're experiences of kindness and caring and patience that other people are giving to you, if they're experiences of understanding instead of judging, if they are experiences of supporting instead of exploiting, then those are... Each of those is a balancing of energy, a karmic obligation being fulfilled. A karmic obligation doesn't mean that it's something negative or painful. A karmic obligation can be an act of love. The karma is simply an impersonal energy dynamic. You created a cause. You acted with the intention of love. And that cause has created an effect, and until that effect comes into being in your life or the life of a personality of your soul, that imbalance remains. It's unfinished business. Sometimes it's wonderfully feeling unfinished business, and sometimes it's excruciating unfinished business. Mm-hmm. But it's unfinished, but not indefinitely. Mm-hmm. It may take centuries for it to finish, or it may take a month and a half, or it may take an afternoon or even a few moments, but it will come to completion. When you begin to see that about the experiences of your life, then you won't be so inclined to take them personally, to think that someone has abused you and you have a right to be angry or to hate or to sue them or to act rudely to them or to disregard them. Of course, you might want to leave. You might not want to further associate with someone like that, but if you do it in anger, in resentment, in fear,
and you're creating more karma.
Precisely. In that moment of completing one karmic debt, one karmic obligation, another has come into being. What will that karmic debt be? Will it be more anger, resentment, jealousy, lashing out? It could be. If you take your experiences personally, if you react to them, that means act again unconsciously and robotically as you have in the past, or it can be something else, very different. If you respond to your experience, no matter how painful or unjust it seems to you in the moment, if you respond with love, that doesn't mean hug somebody who's just hit you or embezzled from you, but it does mean to act with care and understanding and appreciation.
And integrity as well.
Integrity and appropriateness.
Yes.
In other words, if someone abuses another person, say an adult abuses a child sexually, then it's appropriate that that abuser be restrained. That means locked up, put in jail, put in a position where that he or she cannot abuse children in the future. But if you judge that abuser, then you create negative karma for yourself because you do not know enough about that circumstance. You do not know. You can see what's before your eyes, you can judge it and create negative karma for yourself. But if you use your multisensory perception, or even your knowledge of it, or even your suspicion of it, you can see that you do not know enough to see what is coming to that to conclusion in that moment that you have witnessed. You don't know, for example, whether the abuser and the abused, the adult and the child, are exchanging roles that they played in another time and in another place. So it is appropriate to have compassion for the child and for the abuser. It's appropriate to stop the abuse. It's appropriate to do whatever is necessary to prevent the abuser from abusing again. Mm-hmm. But it is not appropriate for you to judge. You are not the judge and the jury. But I'm not saying that in a lecturing sort of way. I'm simply sharing it with you. Because if you judge, you will create the karma of judgment. You will create whatever you bring into the world in that moment. So why not start looking carefully at what you're bringing into the world in as many moments as you can become aware of? And eventually, start looking more carefully at what you're bringing into the world each moment. Then, your experience of karma will begin to be very different. It'll be the experience of consequences that you have created consciously with the intention of love, rather than experiences that you have created unconsciously with the intention of fear.
Now, I really appreciate what you said about karma, and it's very helpful. And I was thinking of one other aspect of karma that we might want to talk about, and that is one of the things that's so important, it's not the action or the words that you say, but it's more what's behind it, what's the intention behind it, why are you doing it? So someone can do something that seems very loving. Let's take someone who's pleasing other people. Like I could say that for myself. So when I was pleasing, and I don't mean that I never please, because sometimes I'm not aware that there's a frightened part of my personality active, but I'm much more aware of it now. And so I would do things, not really, I didn't do it for the other person. I did it so that they would like me, so they wouldn't abandon me, so I wouldn't be rejected by them, so that my frightened part that wanted to please them would feel better, instead of just doing something because I wanted to do it for them. So I was creating karma for other people to want to please me, but not really care about me. They were just their frightened part was just worried about being rejected or abandoned by me. So they did something for me that seemed really like a loving act, but it wasn't at all loving. So I want to talk about that part a little more because I think it's important to talk about that, because some things again, we're talking about intention. And intention is so important.
It is very important.
Yeah.
It is so important that two entire chapters in the Seat of the Soul are dedicated to intention. It is so important because intention is what creates your experience. So we're going to be talking about intention a lot in the Life School.
It's true.
In fact, when we get to those chapters in the Seat of the Soul, we're going to go very deeply into intention. But right now, while we're talking about karma, Linda has brought out the most important thing immediately. And that is that what creates your experience is not simply what you did or what you said or what you will say or what you will do, but the intention with which you will say or do these things. The intention. So, what does that mean? When we start to look at intention and explore it, you'll begin to see that it appears that you might have myriad possible intentions for doing something or saying something. But if you continue to ask, why did you do that? Why? For example, someone might say, I want to get another job. That's my intention. I intend to get another job, a better one. And then you might ask that person why. And the person might say one of many things. One might be, I want to earn more money. And you can say, why do you want to earn more money? Oh, because I want to buy a car. Why? Do you need a car? No, my car works, but I want a Maserati. A Maserati? Why do you want a Maserati? Now, here's where a lot of people will begin to lose track of what their real intention is. And they might say, well, I don't know. I've just always liked Maseratis. I like automotive engineering. But if they're aware, they'll say, I want to impress people. They say, why do you want to impress people? And if they're really, really aware, which I have to say, when I was in my I would like a Maserati phases, I wasn't this aware. But if I were, I might have said, I want to impress women. And then if someone had said, why? By now, I'd probably be very annoyed, very irritated, because now he's bringing my attention to things I didn't want to look at, couldn't look at, never had looked at. But nonetheless, they were there, even though it took me a long time to begin to explore them. It doesn't have to take you that long. Beneath the need to impress women might be because I want sex. Why do you want sex? Ah, now we're getting closer to home. Because it makes me feel good. Well, what makes you feel good about it? Because I feel powerless in my life. Because I don't have any meaning. Because I want to belong and I don't feel that I do. Because I want to be admired. I want to be loved. I want to be a part of life. Because I'm tired of feeling like I'm ugly inside or defective or flawed. And when I'm having sex in that one short time, all of that goes away. Ah, now we've gotten down to an intention.
Mm-hmm.
What lies beneath that intention? Fear. The intention of fear is always to manipulate or to control the world or someone in it or some circumstance in it so that a part of your personality will feel better about itself, will not be experiencing this terrible pain of powerlessness. And everybody has it. Everybody. That is the experience of fear. It is always the intention of fear. It is always the pursuit of external power. Now let's go back up this intention tree and see how else it might have unfolded. It could have unfolded many ways, because you can see there's a lot of permutations at each question. Why? Let's start again. I want to get a job. That's my intention. Why? I want to make more money. Why? Because my wife has cancer and we don't have health insurance and I'm already working two jobs. The second one has to pay more. Oh my goodness. Can you see the difference in intention? Can you feel it? In the first case, the intention was to satisfy a part of a personality that feels inadequate, that experiences itself as inadequate and in pain. And in the second case, the intention is to give to another without strings attached. Not for gratitude, not because it wants to see itself as a good person, not because it wants to be seen as a philanthropist, but because it loves another individual. It loves life. It wants to give to life. That is an intention of love. And it's the intention that creates consequences. It's your intention that creates karma. And that's the point that Linda was making.
So either the intention comes from, at the bedrock, either it comes from fear or it comes from love. So that's something that takes practice to be able to see that, because if I don't know that, I can't create authentic power, because I won't be able to create in love if I'm not aware of what I'm doing. So I'll be continually creating karma that is creating consequences that are painful in my life and the lives of the other personalities of my soul. So that is such a freeing idea, because that way you can begin to look at, what am I creating? What am I doing right now? What is my intention for doing this? What is my intention for reacting in the way that I am when something happens, when someone does something or says something to me? What is my intention? Because whatever it is, if it's in fear, it's going to create consequences that are painful to you and other personalities of your soul, and the other way around. If you're doing things that are loving, you're going to create consequences that are loving and blissful for either yourself or other personalities of your soul. That's what will come to you.
Yes.
Indeed.
And karma is accurate, always up to the moment.
Mm.
It is the most remarkable teacher that we could have. For example, suppose you say to yourself, well, I'm getting a lot more spiritually savvy than I ever have been before. This karma thing is interesting. So all I have to do is act lovingly to other people, and people are going to start acting lovingly to me, and that's certainly what I want to have happen.
Mm.
Now, will you attract to you loving people? No. You will attract to you people who are acting loving because they want you to provide them loving experiences. In other words, they're exploiting you just the way you're exploiting them. When you put on a smile that's not in integrity, when you try to please somebody, and it's because you want appreciation or gratitude.
In other words, you're attached to whether they are loving toward you or whether you get what you want back from them.
That's exactly right. Whatever you put out, that's what you get, until eventually you connect the dots between the choices that you make, and more than that, the choices of intention and the experiences that you encounter. And when that happens, your life begins to change. This is the development of mastery. This is the injection of consciousness into your life. This is consciously utilizing impersonal, non-physical dynamics that are not a part of any science course that you will be taught anywhere in any university or any school. Non-physical dynamics such as karma, non-physical dynamics such as the law of attraction, which is very closely related. It simply means energy attracts like energy. If you're hateful, you'll attract hateful people. If you're jealous, the same. If you're vengeful, you'll be with people who are indulging their sense of victimhood and wanting to blame it on someone else.
Holding a grudge.
Holding a grudge. If you're loving, you'll be around people who love life. What kind of a person do you think Mother Teresa was? Do you think her intentions were loving or fearful? I think they were loving.
But if you're acting like a loving person, so that you can get what you want back from someone else, that's the kind of people you'll have around you.
Precisely. Precisely.
So be aware of that.
This is not... So what Linda said is be aware. She didn't say beware. This is a problem. This is something to avoid. You can't avoid karma. You are consciously creating it. You are consciously bringing into being effects by the causes that you choose, and those causes are your intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So before you act, do your best to see what the intention is. And we're going to go through a lot of this. In fact, we're going to explore all of it in the Seat of the Soul Life School. And we're going to explore it in the depth and quality that we're beginning now to look at karma. We're going to look at intention. We're going to look at emotional awareness. We're going to look at responsible choice. We're going to look at intuition. We're going to look at what power really is. We're going to look at trust. We're going to look at harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life. So does that sound delicious to you? That's because it is. That's because these are the lives that we want to live. And that's because these are the lives that we are not living. Why? Because more and more frequently, we choose to create unconsciously. And it's only when we choose to create consciously that we can choose to create differently.
Mm.
And when we create differently, what we experience becomes different. Our contributions to the collective consciousness, to humanity, and all of the collectives in which we participate, from our family to our workplace, to our community, to our state, to our region, to our nation, all of those shift in some way because of our contributions,
mm-hmm.
because of your contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of waiting until everyone else makes different contributions so that the collectives that you're in will change. It's not a matter of waiting for anything. It's a matter of changing yourself now. Now, in the moment, whenever the now is that you're angry, whenever the now is that you're jealous, whenever the now is that you want vengeance, whenever the now is...
That you want to please someone.
That you want to please someone.
For your own benefit.
Whenever the now is that you are generous, whenever the now is that you are caring and patient
mm-hmm.
and appreciative or grateful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're creating. Bring consciousness to this process. Bring consciousness to it. That's how you create authentic power. And as you understand karma, the immensity of it, not the immensity, it's not a big or little, it's everywhere. It
mm-hmm.
is the scope. The scope of it excludes nothing that involves your experience.
It's because it's a universal law
of
cause and effect.
It is a universal law that we experience in the Earth School.
Yes.
So, benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way of saying benefit from your life. Benefit from your experiences. So how to do this concretely? The next time that someone is rude to you, say to yourself, what if this is a karmic necessity in my
mm-hmm.
life?
It's a great way to challenge, beloved, a frightened part that comes up that wants to get rude back or wants to judge a person.
That's right. And why is it a great way to challenge? Because when you really understand it, you see that it is futile,
mm.
entirely futile, waste of time, to try to change the person that was rude to you so that you'll feel better about yourself. Some people will be rude back. Some people will try to get the person to be polite and say, oh, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't mean to say that, or I'm sorry, ma'am. But all of that is a waste of time. What is not a waste of time? Actually, there's no waste of time because all of your experiences carry learning potential.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to use that potential, if you want to bring it into being, then instead of trying to change the world around you, instead, look inside yourself and change that. We'll go into this in detail. But the first step is to say to yourself, what if this experience is a necessary one for my spiritual growth? Well, then how could it be? How could someone being rude be necessary to my spiritual growth? The answer to that would be is, to to look inside yourself and see what you are experiencing emotionally.
And how you can react rather than respond, I mean, respond rather than react.
Precisely.
To what is going on. So that you, the karma that you create in that moment is from love, not from fear. That's really the bottom line.
The bottom line is, how can I grow spiritually?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not growing spiritually if I'm acting on my anger. Aha! That is the potential that this moment is bringing to me.
Mm-hmm.
To act again on my anger, on my sense of righteousness or superiority or inferiority, and instead choose an intention of love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this brings us to the conclusion of this session of this live streaming session.
It does, but I have a feeling, beloved, this has brought up a lot of questions and interest and thoughts that people have. So we'll end this session now, but we'll be joining all of you on the call in a couple of minutes. So right now we're going to be ending this video session, and we'll be joining you in about 2 minutes or so on the call itself. And we'll be able to have time to interact with you, answer questions, also hear your sharings. We're really looking forward to it.
So we'll see you soon. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes.